You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Send out your light and your truth that they may lead us and bring us to your holy hill. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On April 14th, 1946, St. Albans held its first Sunday service. It was Palm Sunday. That was 80 years ago on Tuesday. 80 years, our first service. It wasn't at the church. It was on Austin Avenue at the Hamilton House. 46 people were in attendance, and 18 of them were children. That was probably a very lively service. The Reverend Charles Higgins was appointed priest in charge by Bishop Quinn, the Bishop of Texas, to lead the mission of St. Albans. He was our first rector. Not many of us remember Charles Higgins. Does anybody in here remember him? All right. Every service so far, there has been one person that has remembered Charles Higgins, which is really good. So you could tell us that he was a force of a man, and he had a great mustache. I was with a parishioner just this week, and she told me that her mother said that Parson Higgins was a very good-looking man. And Garrett's in good company. So he thought that was funny. I'm glad. Soon after the first service, the parish hall was built right over there, and then work on this building was done. The St. Albans Day School was open. The windows were shipped over across from Europe and meticulously put in. Everything was coming together. Charles Higgins left his mark on Waco. He helped establish a city council in Waco. He was invited to meet Elvis Presley in 1953 to address Elvis's dancing before his show in Waco. And I don't think it worked. I don't know. Higgins led this church to value education, beauty, music, and service. So many things that still are vital to the core of this congregation. And he would eventually pass on the torch. And the torch was passed on again and again and again. And now we hold that same torch. A lot has happened in the 80 years since that first service. So when we come into this congregation, we are entering into a story that started before us. And it's a story that will continue after us. And we get to steward this moment together. I've only been a part of this unfolding story for 3 weeks, but I've already seen that this is a church of compassion and hospitality. It's a community rooted in the grace of God. It's a place that doesn't take itself too seriously, but takes the grace of God and Jesus Christ very seriously. It's not a perfect church by any means, but it is a good church. And most importantly, it is a place where God continues to work. The story of St. Albans is a part of a much larger story. It's a small piece of the story of God's love for God's people. That's what we see in the Bible. And that's the story that our lives are all a part of. And we see in our reading from Luke this story come to bear in the lives of these disciples. And we see that Jesus meets them on their journey, that he completes the story of creation, and that he gives them communion. So our gospel passage takes place on the first Easter Sunday. Two of Jesus' followers were on a journey to a small village outside of Jerusalem called Emmaus. They were leaving behind the horrors of Good Friday when Jesus was abandoned by his followers. He was arrested and he was murdered on the cross. And earlier that day, Mary Magdalene and some of the other women who followed Jesus went to the tomb and found it empty. And they said they had a vision of angels. And they came back and they told the disciples this, and they thought it was mere idle talk. That's what it says right before our passage today. The disciples thought it was idle talk. And in the middle of all this buzz, resurrection is just on the lips of the people for the very first time, these two disciples leave. They're running from the past. They're trying to get away from it all. And it is there, in their lack of faith, Jesus meets them on the road. He meets them on their journey, and he walks with them. He walks with them towards Emmaus, but their eyes are kept from recognizing him. What we see here is that Jesus doesn't wait until we have it all figured out before he joins us
where we are, for he meets us where we are. These disciples were literally turning their backs on Jesus for a second time. He doesn't meet them with anger or disappointment. Instead, he comes at them with curiosity. He asks a question. What are you talking about? Jesus asks about the events of the weekend, and the disciples are amazed that he doesn't know what happened. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know the events of this weekend? Have you not been checking Twitter? X? I don't know. So, one of the disciples, Cleopas, recounts the events. He tells the story. He describes Jesus as a prophet, mighty in word and deed, and how Jesus was handed over to be crucified. And Cleopas says that they had hoped Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. But that hope died when Jesus died. And Cleopas even recounts the testimony of Mary and the other disciple, or the other followers of Jesus at the empty tomb. He had all the facts straight, but he misses the meaning. He had everything lined up, but he missed the truth. It's almost like he wasn't able to recognize it. And the whole time, Jesus is just listening. When Cleopas finishes his story, he says, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart you are to believe what the prophets declared." And then Jesus tells them a larger story. He tells them the story that makes sense of everything that has happened over that weekend. It begins with Moses and walks through the story of the scriptures, how God delivered them through the Red Sea from slavery in Egypt, and how Israel was wayward and turned to idols over and over and over again, and how the prophets declared that Jesus would redeem them, that he would give them a new heart, that he would be their God and they would be his people. This is the story that Jesus tells them about God's plan to suffer these things for us and to bring us into his glory. And as he's telling them the story, their hearts are burning within them. I love that translation. You can almost feel it. Hearts are burning, this deep affection that changes everything. Their hearts are turning from stone to beating, living hearts. And when they reach Emmaus, Jesus walks on ahead as if to go on, but Cleopas and the other disciples say, no, it's getting late, it's getting dark. I know you don't like driving at night. Just come on, stay with us for dinner. So Jesus stays and he comes to the table and he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to the disciples. The same pattern from the Last Supper 3 days ago, the same pattern that we follow every single Sunday morning. And their eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus. They see their Lord and their God. They understand the truth of their words, and they encounter and experience that life, that resurrection life for themselves. And then Jesus vanishes, and the disciples can't sit still. They get up, and they go on, back on the road to Emmaus, from Emmaus to Jerusalem, to share the good news. Jesus is raised from the dead. And this is the same God that meets us where we are today. Our God isn't waiting on you to earn his love. He doesn't sit on high and wait for you to climb to him. And he's really not waiting on you to pull yourself all the way up by your bootstraps. He comes to where you are. He comes to where I am. He humbles himself. He humbles himself to our condition. And so maybe you're running from something today like our disciples. Maybe you feel unworthy of his love. Maybe you feel that you don't need his love, that you've got it all under control. Maybe you're mad at God and you don't have much to say to him. Wherever you are, Jesus will meet you there. When my mother died 7 years ago, I was furious at God, and I'm still furious about it. I'm not happy. I gave God the silent treatment. Still believed, but I kind of felt like the disciples in our passage today had hoped that he was the one to redeem. But how could that be when my mom is gone? So I didn't pray. I ignored God for months, and then one day I was visiting my childhood home in Lufkin for Christmas, and my dad was running Christmas errands, and my sister was off with her friends, and I was home alone, and all the noise kind of stopped for a moment, and I just prayed to God. It wasn't some eloquent coming back moment. All I said was, "Okay, God, okay." That was all I said.
And he was there. He was there. And he had been there the whole time. And I didn't have eyes to recognize him. And looking back, I can trace God's provision for my family. I can see that he was there in our grief, that he had never left me. Because even when I wanted nothing to do with him, he wanted everything to do with me. And he wants everything to do with you because he loves you. Jesus meets you wherever you are. If you're running from the past, he will join you in the journey. He will weep with you in your grief. He'll meet you in your doubts. He will meet you in your joy and your celebration. And he will meet us in our debts. We never walk alone. Jesus is our companion. But not only that, he is bringing communion. He is sharing resurrection life with us so that nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God. And we see this at the table in our passage when he takes the bread and he blesses it and says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is my love, which is given for you. This is my life. Share in it." And that's how Jesus completes creation. He fulfills a story that encompasses all of us. It is a tapestry of grace, which we find the threads of our lives woven together. And our part of the story began in a garden when Adam and Eve took and ate the fruit. And they recognized that they were naked and they were filled with shame. And the story is fulfilled in our passage when the disciples take and eat the bread and recognize that they are loved and forgiven and that God is victorious over it all. And that same love is extended to you today. You are invited to take and eat and to recognize the God who is raised from the dead for you. You are invited to communion with God. And that means he wants to share his resurrection life with you. Because God wants to be with you. That's what God wants. That is what God wants. He wants to be with you. To be in your presence. For you to be in his presence. And he will stop at nothing to make that happen. That's what God does. That's why he got out of the grave. So that we don't have to stay in there. That he can pull us out too. That is the gospel. God saves us. And that's the whole story. And our lives are wrapped up in that beautiful story. All the intricacies, all our losses and griefs, our joys, our celebrations, everything are wrapped up in that story. And St. Albans' story is wrapped up in that too. The deepest reality is God's love for you. Jesus completes the story of God's love. He is your companion wherever you go. And he brings communion. Jesus brings his resurrection life for you today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are the God of the living, that you are the God of resurrection life. We thank you for your great love for us. Nourish us in the bread and the wine. Be present to us wherever we walk. Show us your grace more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.